And every first Sunday, a group of people come together here on Metro Talk. We call them the politicians. It's first Sunday political debate, and they're in-house. Nicholas Sawalk, who is our libertarian. You're still a libertarian.
I am still libertarian.
Okay, Jim Pomeroy, we know he will not giving up. He will not. No Republican gives up right now. Emily Loeffler, independent, and what happened to the Democrat? She didn't show. No Democrat in
Invisible
the panel.
As
we can't
usual.
Do this show.
Emily,
Steve, we have to do something else.
Emily will be able to fill in for the Democrat.
Steve, will you call the president? Will you call the president and get him on the phone? See if we can't do an interview with George this morning. George Washington, that is. Don't get me. You know, we don't have a Democrat. We can't do this. Anyway, Eric Nicholson's here from the Green Party.
Hi, Jerry.
Is that like being a Democrat?
No, not at all.
Not at all. Okay.
We actually show up.
I'll telephone number.
Oh.
Yeah, but you got rid of Ralph Nader. That hurt my heart. Yeah, telephone
Mine
number
too.
Three. I'll telephone number 301-230-0980, pound 980 in the Verizon Wireless System. Absolutely free call. We get into many issues. If we happen to be talking about issue B after talking about issue A, and you want to talk about issue A, call us anyway. We'll always go back. We're known as retractors. Retractors. Can I say retractors? Issue number one. President Bush has been before the American public for 6 months or more, touting his agenda for Social Security. John Bolton, Energy, and Tom DeLay. Polls show Bush is slipping. Has the White House lost connections to the American public, or does the everyday American find himself in a bigger jam over promises, gas prices, Iraq, and living with doubt about Social Security? What is the status of the president? Is he really going downhill? Jim Pomeroy.
Well, the Democrats seem to think there's no problem at all with Social Security for the next 50 years, so I guess...
I didn't ask you that.
Well, here's what I'm saying. I look at the president.
I didn't ask you about the Democrats. I asked you, is the president going downhill?
No, the president must be doing just fine, since according to the Democrats, Social Security is perfect.
What do they have to do with this?
Well, that would be a good question, but they're standing in the way. But... and you look at Iraq, things are going, things are moving in the right direction. We've got an elected government.
I don't know, we've killed five Iraqi police people this morning.
Well, if you're going to judge that, then the city of D.C. and every major city in the United States has days when you can get on a soapbox and say that everything is going down the tubes. But you've got to look at the larger picture.
Okay. Let's go around the table, and I'll come to you there, sir. My friend Nicholas Sawalk, most likely Pat is listening and she'll call you, Nick. I think this is called a Metro Talk love affair. Go ahead.
I think that it was good of the president to get up before the American people and actually start putting some real meat on his Social Security plan. And I think that at this point, the president, obviously his poll numbers are going down on the Social Security issue as people realize exactly what has to happen to fix the problem. But I think that he's sort of taken the challenge of saying, this is a reform we have to do, and he's willing to accept that heat as he moves forward.
Eric Nicholson.
Well, again, we know that the president's poll numbers are almost as low as they've been through the entirety of his time in office. And we may have finally reached the point where he's overplayed his hand. I think, again, people are generally not excited about the Social Security plan. The more he gets into the details that Nick is referring to, the less excited they get, you know, about having their benefits cut and these kinds of, additional hard items that are included in his proposals. And, again, you've got this huge ethics scandal with Tom DeLay, and finally the Republicans, you know, being forced by the public to reconsider some of the rules that they've tried to jerry-rig in their favor. And, again, high gas prices don't help at all either. So
is he up and down?
Down, definitely.
Emily?
Jerry, there's nothing new here. The majority of Americans are disenchanted with the president, with his policies. This is not news. The problem here is that the Democrats can't sit around relying on people not being happy with the president, with the Republicans. This is how they lost the last election. Plenty of people willing to say, you know, I really don't like Bush, but what are the Democrats doing?
Well, you know, you bring up a very interesting point. As we see these polls and the president's popularity slipping, the fact is, and I'm sorry, but, you know, Patrice McKinney is not here, who is a Democrat on this panel. She's just not here, but we got to go on with the show. But let's face it, the Democrats look like
Obstructionists?
No, they're not obstructionists. They look like nothing. I mean, they don't even show up. You know?
Invisible. The other day I was listening to Barack Obama, who is one of my favorite Democrats out there right now.
What voice are we hearing?
But even Mr. Senator Obama, when asked about Social Security, he said, well, you know, everything's on the table. It's open for discussion. We're ready to talk about it. But are we hearing anything from the Democrats? The Republicans are ready to move forward on legislation.
Is it time for third-party America, fourth-party America?
I think it does.
I mean, the Democrats are dead. The Republicans are selling us down the drain. Where should we go?
It definitely is. The Democrats have lost focus as an opposition party in this country. They're not able to clearly articulate an alternative vision for policy. And the Republicans, while there are some good policy things that they're actually moving forward on, the message is getting muddled. I mean, the president has an important Social Security thing to do, and he's defending Tom DeLay, who has all these scandals around him.
Okay, let's step into Tom DeLay here. Could someone please tell me what Tom DeLay is?
I stepped in Tom DeLay.
Can I remind the audience that our telephone number is 301-230-0980, pound 980, the Verizon Wireless System. My line's open. Okay, go right ahead.
What Tom DeLay is generally accused of are the same things that Nancy Pelosi's staff and other Democrats have been doing. It's called junkets. Now, I don't like junkets. If you want to ban all congressional travel, that's something we can discuss. But in terms of what Tom DeLay has done, he has done nothing different than the Democratic leadership, than the rest of the Republican leadership. You have dozens, if not hundreds, of these guys running to their financial reports to revise them on both sides of the aisle because they've realized, oh, wait, there's a whole extra couple of pages of rules on how to report these things. So this is not Tom DeLay didn't do anything that the rest of them didn't do, and these are minor accounting errors.
The issue, Jim, is not the severity of the allegations against Tom DeLay. The issue is the way the Republicans have been willing to dismantle the existing ethics committee rules
and laws.
And without regard. They did eventually revert on it. And that's about the only thing that the Democrats have done lately that shows any sort of political power.
This president and this Congress, this congressional majority, came into office riding a wave of promises of integrity. And now suddenly they want to turn around and say, hey, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. They were supposed to raise the bar.
Oh, we did. We actually did, which is why you don't have the scandals that you had under the Democrats.
Because you changed the rules.
No, we didn't change the rules. We tightened the rules. In fact, what you guys are complaining about, well, there was massive fraud. I mean, a number of congressional Democrats who eventually went to jail.
Monica Lewinsky and the Oval Office.
We can go with that, too, but I was going back to the Democratic majority.
301-230-0980, pound 980 on the Verizon Wireless System. Lines open, and if you want to get your political heat up this morning, you can do it with our political panel this morning here on Metro Talk. And they include Jim Pomeroy, who is a Republican, Libertarian, Nicholas Sawalk, Emily Loeffler, Independent, and Eric Mickelson, our Green Party candidate. Patrice McKinney, who is the Democrat, didn't come this morning. Maybe it was kind of heavy for the Democrats. They've really suffered here lately. I don't think they have much to say. But anyway, moving ahead, I don't want to get in trouble. I'm not taking sides, folks. I'm not taking sides, okay? I'm just simply saying how we look for...
Well, Jerry, if I
issue
ever
issue number two. What are your opinions and comments about the Bush primetime TV special this past week when Donald Trump got higher ratings and the networks cut away at 9 o'clock when the president was continued to speak, and there was a big play between the White House and the networks as to what time the president could speak, 8:30 or 8 o'clock. Anyway, an AOL poll showed the next day that 51% of Americans said, why did they carry the Bush speech? Why did they break into my interrupting in my programming? What do you think about it, folks?
Well, these are national issues, and the president spoke to the American public.
Did you go with the Democrats again?
Well, the Democrats changed the channel. It's their fault.
The Democrats have complained that President Bush does not face the media enough.
Well, he didn't.
So here he's facing the media, and you still complain. Yeah, Jim, can the man do?
Excuse me, Jim. Doesn't this go back to number one, slipping in the ratings, slipping in the polls, not the ratings, but slipping in the polls, and also his programs are really look awful shaky getting through. I mean, naturally holds a TV special.
But Jerry, how can you defend the fact that 51% of Americans feel that it's more important to watch Donald Trump than it is to actually be informed
about the issues
before America? I mean,
I have to agree with Nick on this. I'm not a particularly big fan of the president, but I think it's a sad commentary to say that people would rather watch, you know, the Charmed Life, whatever the heck the show is, or Donald Trump than.
I'd rather watch George Bush and Donald Trump.
But, you know, I think, again, so maybe it speaks to sort of a dissatisfaction with the president, or maybe it speaks to just a disengagement from politics.
All right, my dear friend Emily, and we'll go to the phones.
Well, I think that this also speaks to a large number, a majority of Americans who are disenchanted with how the policies are being communicated to him, to them, how policy is being made by both sides of the aisle. I mean, 51%, this is the same mandate that our president claimed out of the last election. But the reality is that there was a huge number of people who just said, you know what, I'm throwing my hands up. I don't understand what's going on.
Well,
none of this has anything to do with me.
The question here is, do we take national, any issue seriously enough when it's not happening in our own backyard?
One quick thing. Keep in mind, this was 51% on an AOL poll, and considering the problems that AOL has, I'm not sure.
Come on.
Typical.
It's the media's fault.
No, I'm not calling AOL. I'm not calling AOL the media. I'm calling AOL a flawed internet company.
Joyce in Virginia, good morning. Good morning, Joyce. Is Joyce there? Hello, Joyce. How you doing?
I'm fine.
Go right ahead, Joyce.
Wait. We need to have more than two parties. I started out a Democrat.
Uh-huh.
I am definitely an independent. Dad, forgive me. I have voted for a Republican. But the other thing is, this White House is so secretive, it scares me. Like, right now, our fuel prices are up. Remember 2 years ago, or three, when the fuel prices were up and the Vice VP was having his secret fuel meetings going on?
Mm.
You want to know why people don't trust any politician?
Mm.
So maybe they ought to be looking at, you know, being a little bit more honest and explaining things in plain English.
Joyce, hold the line. Let's get Chris in D.C. on the line with you. Chris, meet Joyce.
Hi, Joyce. Chris. How you doing?
Go right ahead, Chris.
First of all, I'm really angry with the president for preempting the OC. I was really excited.
Well, he should just quit then. Forget it.
I'm glad the Redskins weren't playing.
Let me say something. This president is the obvious thing. He's not an intelligent man. All right. Social Security for most people, any reform for it, is a kind of complicated issue. And he is not the spokesman for reforming or deconstructing or changing Social Security because he's not intelligent. He doesn't have the capacity to come across as though he understands the problem and communicate it to the American people. And that's the obvious manifestation here.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Joyce,
and
do you agree with that?
I haven't been able to listen. I have to hang up. No, my phone's been beeping in and out.
Oh, okay. So, go right ahead, Joyce.
I do agree, but you guys have a good discussion. It was interesting listening.
Thank you very much, Joyce.
We still need a third party.
Bye. We still need a third party. Okay, Jim Pomeli, I'll let you bang in here.
All right, here. How many elections does George Bush have to win before people who lose to him stop calling him dumb? You know, quite frankly, if he's dumb, I wish I were that dumb.
Well, okay. Look, first of all, yeah, I'm first of all proud to be blue, okay? Because it's very difficult to argue against a tax cut, all right? And you talk about the Social Security issue, right? God forbid someone should say that the wealth of the country, the wealth produced by the people of the country, should be used for their Social Security. No one can breach the sacred issue of military spending. Okay? The wealth that the people of this country are producing is being wasted in military expenditures.
Okay.
And wasteful military spending.
The people of America voted for the commander in chief, so I'm going to disagree with you on that.
Excuse me, Jim. You're interrupting this man. Thank you very much, Chris, for your call. I appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. Cut me off when you talk about military spending. That's a sacred cow.
Oh, okay. Well, we just want to move on, Chris.
We don't want to interrupt
a bunch of phones here, calls. Okay, Pat and Alexandra, good morning. I'm not cutting you off, Chris. It's just that you made your point, and we'd like to move on. Okay. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, darling. How are you?
Pretty good. Very well.
Mr. Connolly should realize that accounting errors are debits are near the door, credits are near the window, not $4,000 worth of a trip to Russia being paid for by a suspicious company.
Now, Pat, you've been around, you and I have been around long enough to know that...
Oh, I haven't been around as long as you, thank God.
I should ask how old you think I am, but I'm much younger than you think.
And quite frankly, as far as Tom DeLay, who stands in front of the NRA and says, you want to empower American women, give them a weapon? Oh, come on.
What's wrong with... Hold it. You want to take away women's gun rights?
Yeah.
You want to leave them defenseless?
John Bolton.
This is so incredibly...
Jesse Helms.
...ridiculous that you don't see the stupidity of the remark.
What's
wrong?
You
want to empower American women, give them a weapon. This is totally ridiculous.
Absolutely not. Women have the right. Women have Second Amendment rights, just like everybody else.
Oh,
what's the problem with that? I mean, are we going to start segregating?
Jim, will you let Pat talk, please?
Constitutional rights.
Would you let her, Pat?
I find it very interesting that Mr. Parmley turns the level of Mr. DeLay's intelligence to a defense of the Second Amendment.
I believe
guns don't kill people. People kill people, right? Yeah. Okay. Fine. Secondly. With regard to Mr. Bush's little games playing on Social Security, why is it every time Republicans come in, Social Security is going to break?
I thought Social Security was just perfect. That's what the Democrats have been saying.
Well, you know, Mr. Plumlee, I think that one has to realize that there are two sides to every story. I realize you don't want to accept that fact. I realize that you feel you have all come down from the mountain. I'm not sure how many of you have skied into trees. But start listening to the majority of the American people. When the president gets down to 32, 31, then come and tell me he's doing a wonderful job and he's brilliant. Nicholas, have a lovely day, dear.
You too, Pat.
I'm going to try to. Jerry, love you.
Thank you very much, Pat. I have my overcoat on right now.
Dear.
Yeah, it's very cold around here.
Well, it should be. Move away from Mr. Parmley and you'll be perfectly fine.
Jerry, don't go skiing.
And the thing about it, Pat's a Republican.
At what point? I mean, how many times do you have to call into a show to blast Republicans before you're no longer a Republican?
Well, she's a Republican.
I can call myself President of the United States, but I'm not President of the United States.
Yeah, but
she's not a Republican.
Are you saying then if you don't agree with Mr. Bush, you're not a Christian? If you don't agree with Mr. Bush, you're not a Republican?
I would think that if you call in every month for a year, Pat, call back. Please call back.
No,
Pat.
I think that one of the things that people have been complaining about is the fact that if I don't think the way you think, I am not what I am.
Oh, you can be whatever you want, can't say you're a Republican
and then
be against every Republican issue.
Just these Republican issues.
Everyone we talk about.
Good morning, Lucy.
Hi, this is Lucy of the Joyful Grass Movement.
I love it.
Country Lucy.
My kind of lady.
I don't know who said it in the very beginning when you were bringing up the question of what do we think about what happened with the preempting of whatever shows those were that got preempted.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to tell you, whoever said that was awfully dismissive of Americans,
mm-hmm.
saying that 51% of the people chose not to watch it assumes that people aren't doing other things. I, for example, was out doing something to help the health and welfare of the citizens of this country. So I didn't choose or not choose to watch President Bush. I chose something completely different. And there was some sort of trivializing assumption that every single person said, gee, I'm going to watch Bush or I'm not. And that is just ludicrous and so condescending. And then the other thing that I wanted to say is, personally, I think the ratings and the whole hullabaloo about it kind of reflects the fact that nothing new has been said over the past few months, and that it was kind of President Bush's and the people who kind of, to me, although I don't think he's not intelligent, like the other person said, to me, other people have a lot of input into what he tells us.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it was kind of reflective of that there's nothing new to say, and like a last-ditch kind of, well, let's give it the old last college try here and see if we can get anybody to bite off on this.
Right, right.
And that it shows, I mean, it doesn't show that there's a majority of Americans thinking one way or the other. It shows that we have very diverse opinions, and in theory, that's what we're all about.
That's America.
And what I think we need to do is talk about it and find a way and not just say, I'm on this side, you're on that side, and
Lucy,
Mayor DeQuayton, tell me.
Lucy, thank you very much. You said a lot there, in this whole thing. Because what you've taken me back to is the fact that I remember when there was no question about a presidential press conference on television. The networks just said right away the president has the right to the airwaves. You remember that, Jim?
Sure.
But then we don't do that anymore.
Well, we have many more airwaves.
Well, that's true. Lucy, thank you very much for your call.
Have a great day.
Likewise.
I just like to respond to a couple of Lucy's points. One, I'd like to commend her for using that time to give back to the community. But the results of the poll actually said that 51% of the people wanted the networks to not carry the Bush speech. That's not saying that 51% of the people didn't watch it because they were busy doing other things. It's that they actively did not want the networks to carry the speech.
And let's jump in here, and maybe the numbers would be similar on a real poll, but that wasn't really a real poll. That was an AOL member-selected people, you know, responded because they wanted to. It was not in any way, shape, or form.
Our telephone number 301-230-0980, #980 in the Verizon Wireless System. Will John Bolton make it to the UN is the question. Even Jesse Helms stated that he would stand with Mr. Bolton on the last day of time. Is Bolton the right man, and is he people? Is he a people's person? That's something that people are asking. And I look to my friend, dear friend, Nicholas Sawalk, the libertarian, to give an answer.
I think that John Bolton brings some creative ideas and sort of a viewpoint that's kind of a return to looking at America's interests first when we go to the UN. But I'm really concerned by some of the allegations that have been made about Mr. Bolton regarding how he deals with people and how he respects other opinions. And I don't think that an ambassadorship is probably the most appropriate place for Mr. Bolton to serve.
Because you really have to wheel and deal.
Because you have to, well, you have to be more respectful of other views. And I don't think that's something that he's shown in the past.
You have to represent America's policy. That's the number one criteria.
Is it hating the United Nations? Or
disliking? No. It has nothing at all to do with that.
Didn't Representative Paulson, what's her name?
Pelosi.
Didn't she ask him, why would you take a job that you don't like the agency you work for?
Look, Jerry, this isn't a question. The Republicans, the folks that want Bolton in there, they're trying to cast this as he's just tough and he's just a mean boss. And that's not what this is about. The scary thing to me here is this is a guy who tried to go out and make intelligence claims, false intelligence claims that were not supported by the intelligence community. And when the intelligence community and analysts in that community would not clear that, he tried to have them fired. I mean, this just isn't just a matter of, well, I disagreed and I want to get rid of this guy and that he's just tough and mean and has a high standard. This is a guy who wanted to make false claims about intelligence. And this comes, you know, a couple of years after we've started a war based on false intelligence claims. I mean, let's take a real look at the dangerous position we're putting ourselves in by sending a guy like this to the U.N.
Well, Jerry, if we're going to get on someone's case for disputing intelligence claims, then I guess the entire American left and the Democratic Party is under the same problem. Hmm. You guys have been disputing and fighting intelligence claims. He was fighting intelligence claims. You should be cheering Bolton.
We're talking about intelligence claims that claimed Iraq had weapons of mass destruction and brought us into a multi-billion dollar war that we're still fighting and has the risk of turning into civil war any day
now.
This guy is up there trying to make claims about Syria and Cuba and Iran.
Is your problem Iraq or is your problem Bolton?
My problem is people in this administration who have an agenda, who are out there making false intelligence claims where people don't know any different and they've not been cleared by the intelligence community, and then they try to manipulate.
On that note, let's go to Silver Spring and Steve. Good morning.
Yeah, hi. I just, getting back to the press conference, I just think that people just felt like it was watching one of these paid advertisements on TV. I mean, this whole Social Security thing, this little tour he's had has been, you know, this guy's such a lightweight, he can't argue in front of people that have differing views. He's going out to these town halls where everyone agrees with him, and they make sure the audience agrees with him. It's like watching Ron Popeil in front of all these people ridiculously smiling while he talks about his next knife or something. And this guy, you know, he's nothing but a snake oil salesman who wants to watch him.
But I'm the only thing I'm confused about, Steve, is this press conference was actually the president up in front of reporters, which, I mean, they don't all agree with him, I'm pretty sure.
They ask questions. He gives a ridiculous one-line answer again, like everything hammering one single point, and nobody calls him on it. Nobody follows up. Well, it's not a real
conference. But that's a media issue. If the reporters aren't going to ask the tough questions and they're not going to follow up on them,
the president stands there and says he will not allow follow-ups. I don't know if that's the media or the president.
Well, is the media incapable of asking the first question properly, or does the media continually need a makeup test?
No. You can ask any question you want, and you're going to get a rote, Karl Rove written answer.
And then the next reporter gets to ask,
that's not answering my question.
Well, then the next reporter gets to ask another question following up. I don't. He's standing in front of the media, the left-wing media. What more do you want?
The media has become such a joke. Please.
Okay. Well, I agree they're a joke, but they're a leftist joke.
Thank you very much. Knock off this crap with the leftist joke. You know, please.
Steve, take a deep breath there. Yeah. Hold the line. Don't leave me, okay? Don't go anywhere. Right. I got Eric in Laurel, Maryland. He's jumping on the line, too. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. First of all, this leftist media stuff is just absolutely ridiculous. If you watch MSNBC, we saw this Terry Schiavo thing for 2 weeks. All we heard about was from the right wing, from Tom DeLay, who turned this into a grandstanding event for him and for his supporters of the right wing agenda. I mean, MSNBC, CNN.
You thought we got
Fox News? It's absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, please! You think we got good coverage on that?
Excuse me, Jim Pomeroy. You're interfering with the public.
The liberal media is cutting me off.
Go right ahead, Eric.
Yes, and the second thing is, as far as President Bush goes, Social Security is an issue, but by 2041, it'll be 75% solvent. He's going around saying it will be broke, which is an absolute lie. And the second thing is, if he put as much time and effort into Social Security as he did for the 45 million people in this country who don't have health insurance, maybe we would deal with a real issue that are dealing with middle and lower class people that can't even afford freaking health insurance.
Okay, let's talk to more people. Eric is making his statement. Steve, how do you feel about that?
I agree with Eric.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure.
Steve, thank you very much. Eric, let's go to Jeff in D.C. Good morning, Jeff.
How are you doing?
Fine.
Good. I want to talk about the Democrats. You know, to me, I'm black, and I've been raised in D.C. for 40. You know, I'm 46 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone to these public schools.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't improved anything. Got worse. And Democrats run everything in every city that blacks are in. They run things.
Mm-hmm.
They don't fix a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't go to McDonald's with Democrats.
Oh, my goodness.
They can't fix anything. Yet Bush wants to fix problems and fix schools. People hate him. Black people hate him. We've been trained by the media to hate America and any Republican. If you look in your history, and I started doing some research,
mm-hmm.
and it's the Democrats who are the Klansmen. We got Robert Byrd, the Klansman, running the Senate. A Democrat.
Mm.
We hate Republicans, but the Democrats were the ones filibustering against the Civil Rights Act of 64. They fought everything for black people. And yet we hate Republicans. We've been trained by the media, and I listen to all the media. They want us to hate Republicans, yet they try to fix things. Any smart, intelligent black person, we train to hate. Janice Rogers Brown, hater.
Okay, thank you very much, Jeff.
Hater.
Oh, okay.
Unbelievable.
Jeff, thank you very much for your input. Appreciate it. David in Silver Spring, good morning. Let's go to Jeff. Jeff again. There's another Jeff in Alexandria. Good morning, Jeff.
This is Jack from Alexandria.
Oh, Jack. Okay, I'm sorry, Jeff.
Hey,
Jack.
Hey, Jerry, you know, the president is getting these massive tax cuts, wants to extend them out to people that are already floating in money. while people whose Social Security money goes into the Treasury, they get this money from the Treasury to these tax cuts, and it's ridiculous. I mean, why not 1% of the top income earners forgo, not increase their tax, just forgo the tax cut extension? It would fund Social Security for 75 years.
Mm. Oh, that's not true.
Oh, it's not true?
That's simply, you can't fund Social Security for 75 years on repealing one part of one tax cut.
You might not be able to solve, let's say neither one of us are right. There's been two prominent politicians that said that, so you're telling Clinton and Kerry they're liars.
Well, they're also saying there's no problem with Social Security, so you have to pick which quote
Jim, once again, the Democrats have said,
there is a problem with Social Security. There's no crisis.
Once again, the Republicans have yet to distinguish the gray area between black and white. There's a problem, but there's not a crisis. Now, my question for the Republican proposal here is, as the caller mentioned, for the last 20 years, there's been a surplus with Social Security, and that money has, as we know, has been diverted to other things with the promise that it'll come back. Now, this president is saying, oh, that money, forget about it. You're never going to see it. It's not going to get paid back. Well, if the president is so concerned about this money that's not going to be available for the surplus, why doesn't he tell us what he's doing with that money this year?
What's going on with this year's surplus? Thank you so much for bringing up the issue of the Social Security Trust Fund. About 25 years ago, I was working on trying to prevent the Democratic majority at the time from stealing the trust fund. And I was ridiculed by the Democratic leadership. Folks I worked with were ridiculed by the Democratic leadership, saying that all that money that they were stealing from the trust fund was going to be used for Social Security. And now, 25 years later, I and the Republicans have been proven absolutely right.
Well, we've got a Republican majority, we've got a Republican president.
President Bush is now trying to fix the errors of the Democrats.
Folks, my favorite statement, we can sing together, but we can't talk here. Jeff, go ahead.
Jerry, I just want to say, the money that, most people, Bush was the first president to send a National Guard overseas, even during Vietnam and all. These people go into service trying to scrape up college money. The top income earners in this country can send their children to any college, keep them away from any wars, protect them. Why not forgo that and put that money into the Social Security? I mean, what do they want? They want to live in a country, have their kids be safe, and let the other kids, let the average Joe Blow's kids go off and die.
Okay, Jeff, hold the line. Don't leave me, okay? Because I want to get into the circle here. David over in Silver Spring. David, go right ahead. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine. Go right ahead. You heard? Jeff's on the line with you. Go ahead.
Well, the main thing I wanted to talk about is the fact there were a couple of questions or statements made earlier in regard to the intelligence of Bush. I don't think that's the issue. Bush is not the issue. It's the administration is the one that sets those policies in regard to Social Security. So we can talk about Bush's intelligence all we want. I think the issue that I would like to see the Democrats or a third party that would come into existence do is what the woman said earlier. There was a indicator that Social Security was in a lot better shape. But what the Democrats could do for me as a citizen is to break down the issue. Get an economist or several economists together that know government finance, break this situation down for the people. I would use a forum on national television, very similar to the debate, lay out the structure, because a lot of people who rely on Social Security, when you think about it, don't even understand it, and
exactly.
They certainly don't understand the issues that are surfaced, and when the Republicans bring it up in public, on television, they're surface issues. They're not deep. They just say it's they say it's broken, but there's no deep analysis as to why it's broken and what state it's in.
And if you ask Ms. Jones out in Peoria, she'll say to you, don't bother my check. Oh, my God, it's how deep it is. Don't bother my check. And, I think you're hitting it right on the head. You know, we need more forums on the Social Security issue, definitely, because a lot of people don't understand. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that Social Security is a supplemental and not a retirement plan.
Exactly.
Can I give a 30?
Thank you very much, David. Thank you very much, Jeff.
I'd like to give David and everyone else listening a 30-second primer on how Social Security works and why there's an issue.
Right.
Social Security is a program where people who are working now pay taxes in, and other people who are old now or disabled take taxes out. There are more people who are going to be taking taxes out then there are going to be people paying in. And the only money that's available to pay back that trust fund, to pay those IOUs, is tax revenues. So the issue is that we're basically going to have to keep jacking up tax rates in order to keep paying.
Okay.
That's why there's a
crisis. I got to go to Stu. Stu, you got about 30 seconds on the line there, my friend. Good morning.
Good morning, Jerry. And sounds like this is a good one for the Economics Forum.
Yeah, I know.
I got to depend. I have to defend our Republican for a change.
Quickly, okay. You got 30 seconds.
First off, you used the right word. It is a supplement. Secondly, the IOUs that everybody talks about, they're treasury bonds. They're the same types of bonds that the government floats for everything. They're no different. The money is there. The big problem is, when it was started, there were 30 people to one paying for it. Now that us baby boomers are getting ready to start looking at Social Security, there's only 2.5 to 3 people to one putting money in.
Okay.
That's what the problem is.
Thank you, Brett. Stu, let's
talk to you
soon. All right, let's go down to Manassas very quickly. 20 seconds there, Bill. How you doing?
Not too bad.
Oh, right ahead.
Well, with Social Security, big problem has been with it is that over the last 20 years, there's been a lot of immigration to this country, and they are eligible for Social Security benefits. They may have not paid anything in, but they're still eligible because they're here by invitation of the government, basically.
Okay, Bill.
And there's a lot, like you said, there is a lot of people that are paying into it, but there's just not enough to cover this influx, and plus the people who have been paying that are getting ready to retire. And it's, like you said, it is a supplement. It's not meant to be something for you to live on for the rest of your life.
Right, Bill, thank you very much. I hate to rush you on, man, but my timing thing here, okay?
All right.
Hey, guys, we got to get out of here. We've got about 60 seconds. Am I right, Steve? All right, got a question for you. Yes, no dissertation. Boy, here we go. Virginia, Lieutenant Governor wants to restore the felon's rights. A felon, if you're a felon, he says they should restore the rights because he's running against Potts and Jerry Kilgore. What about that, Jim Pomeroy?
Felons shouldn't vote.
Okay. Anybody
else? Unless they've been pardoned.
Very quickly.
The president signed into law a similar initiative in Texas when he was governor. So, I think that would open the field up for the Republicans.
Now the question. Here. Let's go to Maryland. Maryland Lieutenant Governor Michael Steele could be running for Senate against the Democrats, Umfume, along with Cardin and Van Hollen. Chris Van Hollen, our own little neighbor up here in Montgomery County. What about Michael Steele? Could he swing that Senate?
I think he could win it.
You think he could win it?
That would be great.
Naturally, you'd say that because you're a Republican.
I think he's the best chance the Republicans have.
I agree.
Can he beat a Democrat?
It'll be tough.
Thank you very much to the political panel this morning. And now all you go out and get your popsicles and drink your coffee and just shut up. Jim Pomeroy, Republican. Nicholas Sawalk, Libertarian. Emily Loeffler, Independent. And Eric Nicholson, who is a Green Party candidate, not Green Party, and Patrice McKinney, Democrat, did not make it this morning, as most Democrats haven't been making it lately. We want to thank those who helped to put it together. Steve Solomon is our technical producer. Carolina Restrepo, Research Administrator. Shaheen, Public Affairs Associate. And Metro Talk is written and produced by yours truly, Jerry Phillips, WBIG-FM 100.3, and Sports Talk 980 Public Affairs presentation from Clear Channel Radio in good old Washington, D.C. My friend, this is the 1st of May. My grandmother used to call it the merry month of May. Mother's Day is coming. Make it a good May. Get out and enjoy the outdoors. Until next time, much peace, much love.
WBIGFM, Washington.